Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is a special day for our confirmants, our church family, and indeed for the entire body of Christ. We come together to celebrate the day of Pentecost, a day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, empowering them to boldly confess the faith in different languages to people from all nations. In the same spirit, our confirmands have learned not only what to believe, but how to confess it. Today we begin with the account in Genesis, the story of the Tower of Babel. Here we see mankind united by a single language. And Mark, it was probably King James, English. Yeah. The authorized one, right? All right, anyway, with one language and one voice, they came together to build a monument to their greatness. They sought to make a name for themselves, aspiring to reach heaven to be like God. In their pride and self-exaltation, they used their unity to glorify themselves. With one accord, they rejected their Creator, denied His commandments, and cut themselves and their children off from God's blessings. But out of love for our forefathers and for we, their offspring, God came down and confused their language, causing division and scattering them over the face of the whole earth. The end of that dispersion has come. For all of it changed when the day of Pentecost arrived. On that day, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and united them in Christ. One people under one God with one eternal gospel to proclaim. And so it was that the disciples began to speak in languages they had never learned, but the native language of all the people which surrounded them. With tongues set ablaze, the disciples did not glorify themselves or their newfound abilities, these charismatics. No, they proclaimed the praises of God and His mighty works. They spoke the word of God, which surpasses all human understanding, the word that bridges all cultural divides and works wonders, the word which resonates in the hearts of all men and springs forth from the tongues of every nation. In this act, the division caused at Babel was symbolically and truly reversed. The confusion of languages became a unification of understanding by the Spirit of our God. People from all nations could now hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did more than just enable these disciples to speak. He united them in Jesus. He filled them and transformed them. The same Spirit has been at work in our confirmation students, in you, in me, in all of us. And He's doing just the same. Our gospel reading from John further reveals the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, a kind of an untranslatable word, will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all that Jesus has said to us. The Holy Spirit does not draw attention to Himself, but directs all to Jesus. And this is what we've learned together. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with His gifts, sanctifies us and keeps us and the whole church on earth with Jesus in the one true faith. And as each section is ended, this is most certainly true. I think they're already falling asleep. I'm looking at you, confirmands. Confirmands, today you affirm the gracious gifts that God gave you in baptism, and you declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And more than this, you will also confess that you will continue to grow in this faith, guided by the Holy Spirit, and by the grace of God never leave, nor forsake, nor depart from it, even under the threat of death, as Ruth and Alan just said this morning. It's a bold confession that you make today, and it is a blessed one. See, confirmation is not just a rite of passage. It is receiving and acknowledging a sacred responsibility. God has entrusted you with various and singular gifts. It's kind of polite to look at someone when they're talking to you. My young men and women. God has entrusted you with various and singular gifts, each one of you. And I've got to see some of them. But most importantly, he's given you the gift of a new tongue. The tongue of the gospel. To live by the gospel, to share in its blessings with the whole congregation, and to distribute your gifts to everyone around you through your own words and actions. The faith you confess today is what everybody in this world truly needs. Mankind is starving for the gospel. They're starving for that very thing that you have. This faith is what people of this world long to hear. It's what we need, what we yearn to be a part of, this community of faith. So confess our faith boldly, my friends, not because you are prideful or arrogant or confident in yourselves or in your own abilities, but because God's Spirit is at work in you, bestowing His gifts, comforting and equipping and transforming you in Christ's image, not for your own sake, but for the sake of every single person you'll meet in the world. Every man, woman, and child needs the comforting, life-changing, wisdom-bestowing words and gifts given us by Christ. They need to hear about the unity we have. They need to hear that the church is our family who lives together, eats together, who publicly confesses our sins and forgives each other. We bear one another's burdens and hear and are here to face the storms of life as one people, united in one mind, one body, one spirit, with one hope that belongs to our call, and with one mouth to confess the praises of Him who called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. All people need to hear this truth. They need to hear about our God, the Father Almighty, who created us and all creatures. They need to hear about His crucified and resurrected Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, lost and condemned persons, purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, right? Not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that we may be His own. And live under Him. It's been a while now, huh? I told you I wasn't going to put you on the spot, so I won't. And live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. People need to hear that. They need to hear about the Holy Spirit, who gives us Christ's righteousness as our own, makes us holy, and keeps us united as one. People need to hear that we are a blessed communion of saints, as we kind of joked about it this morning as you put on your robes. I look very saintly, don't you? Well, you are. They need to hear that we're the saints who gather week in and week out because God is with us. They need to be assured that in Christ our sins are forgiven, that those who die in the faith yet still live and abide with our ascended Lord forever. They need to be assured that on the last day, our Lord will come again and resurrect us and all the dead and give to us and all believers in Christ the blessed inheritance of everlasting life in the splendor of God's new creation. As we race together towards that goal, let us also remember to be sober-minded, for we know that there will be troubles ahead. As Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations. That's a strange word, tribulation. It means the pressures of life will be crushing in on you, right? Turning Gillette's coal into diamonds, like that. That kind of tribulation, the pressure. In the world you will have this tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world, Jesus says. You see, this world we live in is not so unlike Babel. People striving to make a name for themselves, creating towers of self-importance, often without any regard for God or what true harm they do to one another, under the banner of so-called love, a month we're about to enter into. And yet into this very reality of our suffering under their tyranny, God's Spirit calls and empowers us to speak the truth, to speak the language of God's love, of fraternal hospitality, of genuine care, humility, and faith. His power made perfect in our weakness, His salvation made known in our suffering, His Spirit speaking through us in all the various ways we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In our confession, we do not just speak about Jesus, we bring Him to those around us. This is the wonderful, wonderful work of God, that through your confession, through our lives and actions, the people of the nations receive the peace, the love, and the mercy of God made known to us in the gospel of Christ. A gospel not uttered in confusion as a foreign language, but a message of truth that cuts deep into the hearts of all men, calls us to repentance and true faith in the Savior of all. So, confirmants, and indeed to all, let us commit ourselves gladly to being lifelong learners under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. That's a fun word. Let us remember that our ability to confess the faith is not a skill to be mastered, but a gift to be nurtured in unity with each other and in communion with our God who loves us and gave Himself for us. And let us rest assured that our God gladly makes His home with us, as Jesus says. He does not abandon us to our own devices. Even when we stumble, when we falter, when our faith is weak, God's Spirit is here to lift us, to remind us of Jesus' words and promises, and to fill us with that peace which the world cannot give. Beloved, Jesus said, I am going away and coming back to you. So remember, Jesus is with us through the power of His Spirit, in the proclamation of His Word, and in the sharing of His sacraments. He is with us. As we celebrate His work among us this day, let us rejoice in this truth. Our God is with us, and He is our righteousness. And that's why we wear white robes today. Now, confirmands and all, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds as one in Christ Jesus. Amen.